Short series last week, the biography of the saved. Verse 1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Then if you drop down to verse 11, we'll read verses 11 through 13, which is a summary of what we just read. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time, the time we just read about in the first three verses, ye were without Christ. We focused on that last week, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now, change has taken place in Christ Jesus. Ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Last week we looked at our spiritual condition prior to salvation. We see that we were spiritually dead. We were enslaved to sin. We were under condemnation. Again, that's all summarized in verses 11 through verse 13, where we read that we were in the flesh. We were without Christ. We were aliens. We were strangers. Had no hope without God. And far off. And this condition was by nature. That is, we came by it naturally. We did not have to do anything to become those things. That's the condition in which we were born. Our nature, of course, is inherent to us. And it describes our essential qualities, our features, our character, our constitution. And again, we didn't have to do anything to become this. So from all of this, we see that the unsaved sinner's state or condition is in sin. That's what we were before salvation. The nature, of course, will manifest itself in life. In fact, our nature dictates our life. Life coincides with our nature. And we looked at that last week. Tonight, we'd like to look at our life prior to salvation. Last week was our condition prior to salvation. This week, our life prior to salvation. Now, there's varying degrees of this life, and amongst us that are here tonight, there are varying degrees in the way that we lived this life. But we all, prior to salvation, our life was dictated by our nature. God, even then, in His grace, restrained us from doing many things that we would have done, just because of what we were by nature. So first of all, it is a life of living death. Again, our condition, verse 1, dead in trespasses and sins. In verse 5, dead in sins. So we were born spiritually dead, stillborn spiritually, if you will. Following the statement of verse 1, We read dead in trespasses and sins, and then we read in verse 2, ye walked. Wherein ye walked. So we were dead in the spiritual realm, but we were alive in the physical realm. We were dead to spiritual stimulus, yet we were alive, very much so, to physical, temporal, sinful stimulus. So ours was a life lived in death. We were dead men walking. That was our life prior to salvation. In fact, you could view the world as a graveyard for the living dead. That's what this world is. The people of the world, apart from Christ, they move around, and they move around in sin. That's where they walk. Wherein ye walked. They move around in sin. But they're dead spiritually while they live. We read in 1 Timothy 5, verse 6, concerning those who live for pleasure. It speaks of a woman, and it says that she was dead while she liveth. That describes the unsaved sinner. Dead while they live. Dead spiritually. Dead in the spiritual realm. Very much alive in sin. So our life prior to salvation was death walking. We were dead. What were we dead to? We were dead to the very things that we were made alive unto in salvation. Whatever you were made alive unto in salvation, and we could make a list, forgiveness, on and on we could go. We were dead to all of those things prior to salvation. That is, we lived according to our nature. Being spiritually dead, we were shut off from the life of God. We read in Ephesians 5, verse 18, that we were alienated. It is, we were isolated, we were separated, we were cut off. And it says, from the life of God. We were alienated from the life of God. That's the same thing as dead in trespasses and sins. We were destitute of the life that recognizes God. We did not recognize God in our unsaved condition. You say, oh, I did. No, you recognized the God that you imagined in your mind. But you did not recognize God, as He is. And we abode in that death. Notice in 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 and verse 15. 1 John 3, verses 14 and 15. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and we know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Abideth in death. That's how we lived. That's where we lived. We abode in spiritual, our abode was in spiritual death. Again, alive to sin. We lived life unconscious of God. We lived life separated from God. We lived life alienated. We lived life estranged from God. Dead to all spiritual stimuli. We lived our lives again as dead men walking, and this was without Christ. As dead men walking, as aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. That is, we are incompatible with the people of God and the worship of God. And we were deprived of the benefits of such. We lived our lives as dead men walking, strangers from the covenants of the promise. That is, we had no personal reception. We had no personal experience of the promises. You might have been aware of the promises of God through Sunday school or whatever, through your child rearing, but you had no personal reception and experience of those things because you were dead. We lived our lives as dead men walking, having no hope. As long as you're in that condition, there's no hope. There's no hope within ourselves. Our only hope is outside of ourselves, and that, of course, is Jesus Christ. We lived our lives as dead men walking without God, and as dead men walking far off. All of this speaks of a life of emptiness. You read especially Ephesians 2, 11 through 13, and what you have there, without Christ, without God, no hope. You have a life of emptiness. We lived insensible to God. We lived deaf to the call of God, unaffected by God. We live not knowing God. We live not understanding God. We lived insensitive to God, without any relationship with God. We lived without the enjoyment of God. We lived our lives, we busied ourselves in the affairs of life, but God was not in our plans. We were dead in trespasses and sins, alienated from the life of God. And we lived in darkness. We lived as blind men groping in the night, spoken of throughout the Old Testament. We lived in spiritual ignorance, void of spiritual understanding, void of spiritual knowledge. We had no understanding of spiritual things. We were spiritually incapacitated, spiritually bankrupt, spiritually helpless, spiritually unable. We were dead in sin with respect to God, but very, very much alive with respect to sin. Again, we lived lives that were void. We lived lives that were empty. Secondly, we lived a life enslaved. We saw last week that our condition is in trespasses and sins, and in verse 5, in sins. And being dead, we were trapped in those things. Trapped in trespasses and sins. No ability to free ourselves from trespasses and sins because we were dead. The mission of Jesus and His very name declares that we were enslaved, that we were in bondage. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Since He came to save, since He came to set free and to release and to loose and to rescue and deliver and redeem, then we were in bondage, or there wouldn't have been a need for Him to come and do those things. So His very name implies bondage. The implication is that the ones He came to save were slaves. They were in prison. They had lives of misery and suffering and gloom. Jesus came to save. And the reason he had to come to save was because they could not escape the bondage they were in. If the sinner could escape the bondage they were in, there was no need for him to come. But the sinner could not escape. So God sent his Son to save those who were dead in trespasses and sins. In trespasses and sins. That is a place of desolation. That is a place of ruin. That is a place of alienation and decay. It is a place of degeneracy. It's a very confined place. We were in trespasses and sins. That's where we lived. We lived in that box. And we couldn't go beyond it. It was a very restricted place. We were imprisoned. Dead in trespasses and sins. Not only was that our condition by birth, but it's how we lived our lives. We lived our lives in trespasses and sins. Our understanding, our hearts, our wills. You know, people will accuse us all the way, you don't believe in the will of man. Well, we believe in the will of man. But man's will was enslaved and could only act according to its nature, which was against God. Proverbs 5, verse 22, speaking of the unsaved sinner, his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. We lived our lives held in trespasses and sins. Mom and Dad couldn't rescue us from that. No preacher could rescue us from that. No church could rescue us from that. No religion could rescue us from that. We could not rescue ourselves. But thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So prior to salvation, we were in the grasp and in the binding power of sin. We were held there in the mire, in the depths of spiritual darkness, of spiritual ignorance and enmity and error and bankruptcy and guilt and condemnation. And we lived lives enslaved, the trespasses and sins. And there is no slavery more dismal, more disabling, more debilitating, more degrading, or more shameful than the enslavement of the unsaved sinner. There's no slavery that can compare. And there have been some cruel, cruel slaveries throughout the history of the world. But none of them compare to the enslavement of every unsaved sinner. The enslavement that we came into this world with. It's pictured throughout the Word of God in various types. We think of the children of Israel in Egypt. Again, that is a type of the slavery of the child of the unsaved sinner, but it's just a type. It doesn't fully describe the awful slavery that we were in. I think of Judges chapter 16, verse 21, referring to Samson. Remember the Philistines that took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. That was us. But far, far worse. That's only a picture. Prior to salvation, that was our life. That was our life. Dead to God. And we lived in the enslavement camp of sin. Thirdly, it is a life lived in direct opposition to the Lord. Notice verse 2. Wherein, referring back to trespasses and sins, in time past ye walked, that is, You conducted yourselves in trespasses and sins. That was the element in which we lived. And it says we walked in that. That is, that's where we habitually lived, and we progressed in it. If you walk, you're progressing from one point to another. And we were progressing in what? Trespasses and sins. We weren't getting better. We were progressing in our degradation of trespasses and sins. Notice Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 7. In the which. So we've got to stop right there and see what that's referring to. You go back up to verse 5, it's referring to fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, idolatry, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. We walked in them, and that's where we lived. We lived in trespasses and sins. What does that mean? It means we lived doing what is against God. We lived breaking the laws of God. We lived life in an attitude of defiance toward God, some to a greater degree than others, no question about that. We lived with contempt and disregard of God. We lived our lives in opposition to God. We lived our lives in hostility and resistance. We lived our lives striving against God. We lived lives of disagreement with God. That's what sin is. It's a disagreement with God. It's an opposition against God. We lived our lives in disagreement with God. We lived our lives in ingratitude towards God's goodness. We were ignorant of God's goodness. We lived in ingratitude toward God's love, His grace, His mercy, His long-suffering, His wisdom. We are ignorant of all of those things. We didn't understand any of them. And we lived with disregard and ingratitude toward them. We walked in trespasses. Walked in trespasses. The word trespasses conveys the idea of someone who gets off the path. We were born into this world off the path. That came to us through Adam. It speaks of someone who is straight off the road and is lost. That's why we say lost sinners. We lived our lives as someone who strayed off the road. We lived our lives as lost. Heading and wandering in the wrong direction. We were not only lost, we were headed in the wrong direction. And we continue to head in that direction. When you think of lost, you think of confusion. The unsaved sinner is confused. They're confused about everything. When you think of lost, you could be There could be the implication of danger. We were lost. We were in great danger. And if you're here tonight without Jesus Christ, your danger is greater than you realize. You say, well, how do you know that I don't realize it? Because if you realized it, you'd be down on your knees crying out for mercy. It implies turmoil. We lived our lives straying from truth. And straying from truth, we stray from peace. But that's where we walked. Wherein you walked. Fourthly, it is a life lived in agreement with the world. Notice what it says here in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Ye walked according. That means in compliance. To the course. That speaks of a direction. a procedure. You walked according to the course of this world. Speaking of the world as a system, it is a system of life upon earth apart from God. That is a summation of this world. It is life apart from God. Again, it speaks of the system of the world according to the course of this world. It means you conduct yourself in accord with the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world is opposed and against Jesus Christ. That's how we lived. The spirit of the world is the opposite of Christ. It stands rival to Christ. It's unlike Christ. It seeks to reverse or undo what Christ does. That's the course of the world. And we lived according to the course of the world. The world as a system is carnal men living in opposition to God. That's where we lived. It is the system of ideas, activities, and people who are in rebellion against God. The world is the very sphere of rebellion against God. It knows not God. That's the course of the world. That's where we walk. It hates God. It's offended by God, and it's offensive to God. The world is deceitful. The world is ungodly. The world is foolish. And we walked according to the course of the world. Why do God's people go back to that course? It's beyond me. We read in John 1, verse 10, the world knew him not. Still doesn't. People say, well, we've got more education. Still don't know God. The world knew him not. It's a system of ignorance. And we walked according to the course of this world. Jesus in Matthew 13, 22 said that the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choked the word and made it unfruitful. And we lived our lives under the control of the world's cares and the world's deceitfulness. We walked in accord and beat with the world. That's how we lived. Our lives were lived in whatever the issues of the times were. That's how we lived. Whatever the times advocated, that's how we lived. That's why today, whatever the times advocate, that's how most people live. Because they walk according to the course of the world. Whatever the times allow, that's what we did. So it is today. Whatever the times allow, that's what man does. He walks according to the course of the world. Whatever the times called for, we were right there. Whatever the values were at the time, however those values were articulated, we walked according to that course. You see, today someone can stand up and say, it is okay to fornicate. And lost man says, sounds good. Because they walk according to the course of this world. And when God's people begin to live according to whatever the times call for or whatever the times articulate, they've reverted back to their unsaved life. How sad. Why would anyone want to go back there? When we walked according to the world, whatever the world considered important at that time or a priority, guess what was important to us? Whatever the world said. What was the priority to us? Whatever the world said. Because we walked according to the course of this world. Whatever their tolerances were. Today, lost sinners are being told that you're to tolerate everything. Doesn't matter what it is. Lost sinners don't have any problem with that because they just walk according to the course of the world. Whatever the world promotes, that's where we lived. Why was it? We can go back, our lost days. Whatever was in style, got to have it. Why was that? Because we walked according to the course of the world. Why is it so today? Whatever the world says is okay, man falls in line. Because they walk according to the course of the world. That's where lost man lives. People who live according to the course of the world take their cues from the surveys. That's why surveys are so important today to the world. That's why they just ram it down your throat. Surveys say. Because the lost man is greatly affected by surveys. Why, if 80% of people think this is right, then I must be crazy not to. And you walk according to the course of the world. They take their cues from the newspapers, the magazines, the books. They take their cues from their peers and from television and from music and from politicians and from educators as they walk according to the course of this world. And that's how we lived. Prior to salvation, that's where we lived. Very much alive to the stimulus of the world and dead to the stimulus of God. It's further described there in verse 2, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. What that means is that we lived as subjects of Satan. You may not have done so willingly, you may not have done so knowingly. But you lived your life as a subject of Satan. The phrase there, children of disobedience, is a phrase descriptive of the unsaved man. Children of, that means you come to it by nature. It's your characteristic. And our nature was one of disobedience. Our characteristic was one of disobedience. We walked as those who are characteristically against God. Fifthly, we lived a life in fellowship with disobedience. Notice also what it says in verse 3. Among whom? Again, you have to stop. Who's he talking about? Who's the whom? Well, it's the children of disobedience. Among whom? The children of disobedience also. So in addition to, in addition to what has already been said, this is something you also did. We all had our conversation among whom. We chose to flock together with the children of disobedience. Our general course, our behavior, our deportment was among the children of disobedience. Why? Because that's what we were. Birds of a feather flock together. That's where we were. Among the children of disobedience. That's used of the unsaved. Notice in Ephesians 5, verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. on the children of disobedience. That's not just those who are disobedient. Those are the children of disobedience. They come by it naturally. They're the children of disobedience. And we lived in relationship with them. Among whom? We lived in relationship to the children of disobedience. We lived with a bond. We had a bond with the children of disobedience. I didn't have a bond to God's people when I was unsaved. I had a bond with the children of disobedience. I got along with the children of disobedience. Why? Because I thought the same way the children of disobedience thought. We lived in friendship with the children of disobedience. Why? Because we were children of disobedience. We lived in companionship with them. We had an affection for them. We were in agreement with them. We even delighted in their company. The children of disobedience. And when a child of God delights in the company of unsaved sinners and would rather be with the unsaved than the saved, you have every reason to question whether or not you still are a child of disobedience. We lived, again, in friendship. We were characteristically against God, and we fellowshiped with the same. Among whom? Being children of disobedience, we preferred children of disobedience. We were drawn to children of disobedience. We enjoyed children of disobedience. And that's why, if as a child of God, you live like you're supposed to live, children of disobedience don't want to be around you. You won't have to separate from them. They'll separate from you. Because children of disobedience flock to children of disobedience. Lastly, it's a life lived in fleshly desires. Among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. In the lusts of the flesh. That explains why we walked according to the course of this world. Because that was our flesh, that was our nature. It explains why we walked according to the prince of the power of the air. Because we were in the lusts of the flesh. And you notice, it's walk according to the course of the world, walk according to the prince of the power of the air. But when it comes down to the flesh here, it's not walking according to the flesh, it's walking in the lust of the flesh. Walking in the lust of the flesh. Lust is plural. And it describes our nature. Jeremiah 17:9, our heart was deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can fully understand? Who can fully comprehend how wicked we were? But this lust of the flesh is the root. It's the fountain of our behavior, our flesh. That speaks of our corrupt disposition. It's what Paul spoke of in Romans 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. What we were by nature. Galatians 5, verse 17, we see that it's the nature of the flesh to war against God. That's where we lived. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh. He wrote in Romans 8, verse 7 and 8, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, and it cannot please. And those that are in the flesh cannot please God. And that's how we lived. In the lust, fulfilling the desires of the lusts of the flesh. Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, we read of some of the works of the flesh. The lusts, the wills, the desires, the cravings, the inclinations, the impulses, the attractions of the flesh. And everything in this world is geared toward the lust of the flesh. And that's where we lived. What our flesh desires and has attraction for is mentioned again in the works of the flesh there in Galatians chapter 5. Notice though here in Ephesians 2, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. The lusts of the flesh are the principles of ungodliness. And we lived fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. May I say, if it were not for the restraining hand of God, it's hard to say what we would have done. But God was gracious to us even then in restraining us. It's called in Titus 2, verse 12, worldly lust. We walked according, and because of our lusts, our desires, we walked according to the course of the world. Why did we walk according to the course of the world? Because we desired to. That's part of fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Why did we walk according to the prince of the power of the air? Because it was our desire to. It's part of the fulfilling of the lust of the flesh. We are moving away from God. The lust of the flesh always moves away from God. The course of the world always moves away from God. And we lived our lives drawn and carried by the evil and twisted desires of our nature. And you know what? At that time, it all seemed right. Seemed like the right thing to do. We read in Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And that's true today. You look at the lost sinner, and what he or she does seems right to them. How can it be wrong? Everybody else is doing it. The reason everybody else is doing it is because they're in the same boat as that lost sinner. Children of disobedience. In salvation, the Lord saved our souls. We know that. But He also saved our lives. He transformed our lives. You know, there may be some here who were saved at a young age, say 10, 12 years old. And you never got into deep into the trespasses and sins as far as practice. But that's God's grace. God saved you from that. Others, we were in those depths and God saved us out of it. But either way, God saved our lives. God saved our lives. He reversed our course. I have no desire to go back to the old way of living. I don't want to live that way. The Lord changed my course. And He did so by changing my nature. Had He just changed my course without changing my nature, I'd be right back. But He changed our nature. And now we no longer want to walk according to the course of the world, but according to the course of the Holy Spirit. And any time the child of God uses the world as a justification for the way they live, that's just downright foolishness. God saved our lives. Every one of us that are here and saved tonight, God saved our souls. God saved our lives. In saving our lives, He brings us joy. The life that we once lived, there was no joy in that life. Oh, we thought there was. There was no joy in that life. But the life that the Lord's given us tonight, there's joy. There's peace. The unsaved sinner is missing so much. They're missing a wonderful, wonderful life. And again, as we've said many times, as children of God, our worst day is better than the best day of an unsaved sinner. And that's always so. Thank the Lord. He saved our soul. He saved our life. That's the one we serve. Brother Tim, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song.